Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, greeting to you all. Today I'm going to share briefly on a few lessons that we can learn from the unsung heroines in the Bible and use it for our kingdom work in the marketplace. The Bible has a considerable number of great women who have continued quietly to the kingdom work. Many a time we just flip through those pages and these characters we don't even recall sometimes. Some of them don't even have a name to refer to. You'll be surprised at the beautiful lessons that we could learn from their life and use it in our marketplace ministry. Let us look at three just such character today. The Canaanite woman, the woman with the alabaster jar, Naaman's servant girl. The first character is the Canaanite woman seeking healing for her daughter. Matthew 15, 21 to 28 says, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she is crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." This is a very tough story, which makes us get confused about our Lord's love and kindness. God is an epitome of love and kindness. How can he ever deny that love to a mother who cries out for her daughter? Here, our Father is trying to teach us perseverance and faith through this woman character. The prevailing culture in those days was that a rabbi, a teacher, will have nothing to do with Canaanites. The disciples knew it. That's why they tried to shoo her away when she approached Jesus. They also complained to Jesus so that he would send her away. Not only the disciple, but this woman also was very well aware of this social stigma attached to her. Yet she took the courage and appealed to Jesus. God allowed it to happen for a bigger learning for us all here. This Canaanite mother's love for her daughter was much stronger than any concerns she had for herself. So she boldly came before the Lord and pleaded with him to heal her daughter. She was ready to face denial, harsh words, and humiliation. Nothing could deter her from boldly approaching before the Lord and seeking help for her daughter's healing. When Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he was trying to emphasize what the disciples were already telling the Canaanite woman, that the particular miracle is not in his agenda. This is a milder version of his denial. When this desperate mother knelt before him and asked for his help again, Jesus went a step ahead and said something that seemed harsh and harder to understand. He said, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The situation is getting interesting now. A debate between a rabbi and a Canaanite woman. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." What a humble but an intelligent answer. She was lowering herself to accept the leftover blessings. Such was the tenacity with which she was pursuing Jesus to heal her daughter. Her perseverance and faith paid off. She received accolades from the Lord and her daughter was healed completely. Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Lesson to learn here are perseverance and faith. The Canaanite woman is one of the best examples of these traits in the scripture. She didn't shy away from approaching Jesus. Her daughter's healing was her focus. She didn't flee from the crowd, from the disciples. Her daughter's healing was her focus. Her faith in the healing power of the rabbi was greater. She didn't feel humiliated with the metaphors being used by Jesus, like a dog, bread, throw. Instead, she dared to respond in a manner beyond our imagination. She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." She didn't argue. She didn't try to convince him that her daughter was a deserving patient of healing and deliverance. Her faith was so strong that she knew even the crumbs from the Lord's table were enough to heal her daughter. I believe that the Lord said the next reveals his heart. "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. What can we learn from the Canaanite woman to be used in the marketplace? Do we persevere in our prayers for saving our Gentile brothers and sisters? I'm from a Gentile background. I was born in a Hindu family. Often I used to think about our brothers and sisters who are yet to know the Lord. Do we pray in faith, believing that God will touch them one day? Do we feel disheartened when we get ridiculed by the society for our efforts to reach out to them? One of the collaterals shared in CBMC is the small card in which we write the name of the people that we pray for. Do we still remember and pray for them, even though no changes are happening? How many years we have been praying for one person to come into the Lord? Our job is to just obey and pray. God will do the rest. So the tenacity with which we pursue in praying for the salvation of these Gentile brothers and sisters has to be greater. While approaching the unsaved, let us pray for their salvation in faith and persevere in our prayers for them. God responds positively to such expressions of faith. The second character in the Bible that we are going to see now is the woman with the alabaster jar. Mark didn't even mention the woman's name. The scene unfolds at a time of utter chaos in Jerusalem. There was celebration and also bad chaos. It was celebration as Jews have assembled in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. It was chaotic situation like marriage in the family. A good chaos. We love that. There was bad chaos also as the Pharisees were scheming to kill Jesus. He was getting ready to sacrifice himself for our sake. We also experience such bad chaotic situations in our life, like the corona pandemic situation in our time. We didn't know what would happen to our family, to our friends, to our relatives, to our career. Uncertainty was everywhere at the time. The disciples didn't know what was going to unfold before them at that time. Utter chaotic situation. But this woman, with such focus, with much focus, walked towards Jesus. Men around her ridiculed her, but Jesus appreciated her so much. This woman focused only in nearing Jesus, and she poured the perfume upon him as an act of worship. What she did was ridiculous, risky in the eyes of the people around, but Jesus called this act a beautiful thing. Our learning here is to seize the opportunity. In Mark 14:7, Jesus says, "You will not always have me." This woman somehow realized that, and she seized that opportunity to worship the Lord. She took the first step and walked towards Jesus, reached him and worshiped him, pouring out the perfume over him. Do we seize such opportunities to reach out to our Gentile brothers and sisters and lead them towards salvation? Or are we happy missing all those opportunities? Are we afraid of the society ridiculing us? Why don't we seize those opportunities and tell the people what a wonderful God we serve. The time to use every opportunity is now. She seized that opportunity at that time. Do we now? She did what the other woman suffering from hemorrhage did. She too took the opportunity to touch the hem of Jesus' garment and got healed. All these women saw an opportunity and used it to approach Jesus. Such opportunities may disturb our routine life, but seize it and lead people towards the Lord. Jesus calls it a beautiful thing. We need such affirmation only from our Lord, not from anyone else. The third character is Naaman's servant girl, the insignificant one who shares good news. Naaman's story is detailed in 2 Kings chapter 5, 1-27. Naaman's servant girl was in many ways very insignificant. She didn't even have a name. But she pointed Naaman to God, the one who could heal him. We are called to do the same in the marketplace. However insignificant we feel, we have a great kingdom opportunity to do. Naaman was commander of the king of Aram's army. He was a valiant soldier and he suffered from leprosy and a disease affecting the skin. The heroine of this Bible event from 840 BC is a young Israeli girl, a girl who had been taken captive when raiders from the king of Aram had attacked Israel. Many a time we overlook this girl who pointed Naaman to God, the one who could heal him. We focus more on Naaman, Elisha, and the interesting events that happens during the process of healing Naaman, the tantrum that he throws when he was asked to go to the river. So all those things are very interesting, but we almost forget this girl. This girl has been wrenched from her home, her family, and was now a slave in the home of Naaman. And it is into this situation that a person of no importance in the eyes of the world speaks. An insignificant young slave girl, whose name we do not know, speaks up, and the course of history changes completely. I wonder who amongst us this morning feels insignificant. Let us think about it. We are significant in the eyes of the Lord. We need not be significant in the eyes of the world. The path-breaking act of courage by Rosa Parks, a 42-year-old African-American woman who worked as a seamstress, boarded a Montgomery City bus to go home from work. On that bus on that day, Rosa Parks initiated a new era in the American quest for freedom and equality. She sat near the middle of the bus, just behind the 10 seats reserved for the white. Soon all the seats in the bus were filled when a white man entered the bus. The driver, following the standard practice of segregation, didn't blink an eye, insisted that all the four blacks sitting just behind the white section give up their seats so that the man could sit there. Mrs. Parks quietly refused to give up her seat. Her action was spontaneous and it was not premeditated. Although her previous civil rights involvement and strong sense of justice were obvious influence in that situation. She was arrested and convicted of violating the law of segregation. Rosa Parks appealed her conviction and thus formally challenged the legality of segregation. When Barack Obama was elected president, some people wore t-shirts saying Rosa sat so that King could walk, so that Obama could run. Rosa Parks, a Black African-American woman, sat on a bus so that Martin Luther King could walk in protest marches, so that Barack Obama could run for the president. Naaman's servant girl, an insignificant young girl in the eyes of the world, spoke up when she said to her mistress, Naaman's wife, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his disease. So often we do not know what happens next as a result of the times when we point people in the right direction. But let us be encouraged to do so. Let us not wait for the result. The result, the outcome belongs to the Lord. He works among the people whom we approach and direct towards our Lord. Rosa Parks died in 2005. She didn't get a chance to see a day, a Black American president. Norman Servant Girl played her part. She didn't think even once that she's very insignificant even to suggest this, but she did. She played her part. We may feel we are so insignificant and our one act will not change the world, but all we have a part to play. Let us not be quiet. We are vessels for him to use, whoever we are. God used an insignificant servant girl to set the wheels in motion. And God used Elisha to tell Naaman what he needed to do to be healed. God wants to use us to set the wheels in motion. We may play a small part in leading people towards the direction of our Lord. Nevertheless, it's a privilege to be used to play a small part. His doings are beyond our understanding. It reminds me of a story of a small boy. He's Jack, and school anniversary celebration was planned in his school. And his mother was eagerly waiting for him to share with him what's the part he's going to play in the anniversary celebration. Every day she used to ask him, "Did your teacher tell you what part you are going to play today?" And he would say, "No, mommy, I'm waiting for them to tell me." So days passed, and one day he came with lots of joy. He was jumping all over the house. And the mother asked, "Did you get the part to play in the anniversary celebration?" He said happily, "Yes, mommy." "And what is the part?" she asked. She was waiting for a very significant part for her son to play in the anniversary celebration. That boy said, "Mom, they have given me a part to clap for all the other students who are performing in the anniversary celebrations." He was so, so happy to play that small part. Do we have that childlike acceptance to play a small part in our life for our Lord? Even as simple as putting a Bible verse in a meeting or in a casual conversation in our office. Do we seize that opportunity? Do we, with perseverance, go after those opportunities and share our word with God, with the people around us? Can we have the attitude of this small boy playing a small part, but exponentially happy? Are we waiting for a bigger part to play in our life? Like the Canaanite woman, let us have great faith and perseverance in our prayer and efforts to lead the unsaved towards our Lord. Like the woman with the alabaster jar, seize the opportunity to show our Lord to the unsaved. Don't hesitate to take the first step. Don't hesitate to seize the opportunity. Like Naaman's servant girl, be ready to play a part, however trivial it is. It will lead people towards the kingdom of God. The rest is in the hands of God. He'll work among them. May God give us wisdom to do what is pleasing only to His eyes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for bringing us all together, raising praises to you. Let the example of these biblical characters speak to each one of us today, Father, and encourage us to submit ourselves to your kingdom work, however trivial, however small part we are asked to play in our life, Father. Use each one of us to reach out to the people around us who are yet to be saved. We have such a great burden for the Gentile brothers and sisters around us, Father. Show us a way to reach out to them so that they'll know what a wonderful God we serve and accept you as their Savior. Bless all the initiatives of CBMC, the kind of reach they have towards people in the marketplace. For Father, Bless each one of us, Father, with great opportunities to reach out to many people, Father, through this. Father, we pray specially for the international convention that is going to happen in South Korea. Father, we pray for all the organizers, all the speakers, all the participants going to be there. Bless each and every one of them, Father. Touch them all in a special way, Father. When they go from that convention, Father, let them carry beautiful learnings from them, from there. And let them be able to, let each one of us be able to touch so many people in our lives, Father, and lead them towards the kingdom of God. Father, be with us, guide us, protect us, Father. Bless this new week. Thank you for this week. Thank you for allowing us to see one more week in our life, Father. Bless this week, Father. Bless each day, Father. Create opportunities forever in our workplace, in a place where we are going to meet others. Create opportunities for us, Father, even a small part to play in such a way that we'll show what a wonderful God we serve to the people around us, Father. Father, be with us, guide us, protect us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.